the whole, and it's all for the building of the body of Christ. The evangelist, I mean, you know, we look at Buddy Todd White, and everybody calls him evangelist. He's probably in the way of gifting, evangelistically gifted, probably the most gifted evangelistically I've ever seen, person I've ever seen. That's so that his life inspires our lives to follow what's possible, so that what you see in him is multiplied by as many as would believe. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's the purpose of that kind of gifting, to show you what life in Christ can look like. And there's a grace on him that's beyond his years, beyond his study from a long time back. There was a grace on him right out of the gate. It was a gifting, and it really coupled with his heart, because I know him probably more than anybody in the room but Jackie. And from the beginning, his heart was so pure and so sincere. And we just, when anybody that knows him wouldn't deny that. So it was an easy journey then for him, because his heart so positioned for what he was called to. You see what I'm saying? So these giftings are very important, but they're not to surround ourselves with these giftings so they minister to us. The church, I'm concerned, the church has become very ministry crazed, that we all want touched and imparted to. And it actually, to me, it's an indictment that we don't have strong personal lives with Jesus. And we're trying to get from others what God wants to give us. And I'm not saying impartation's wrong. I'm saying it's getting excessive. And it's getting out of line sometimes. And we're trying to get to him other ways instead of just going to him in relationship. That's all I'm saying. I'm not against impartation. It's scriptural. It would be ridiculous to say it's not scriptural. But it doesn't take the place of the way and the truth and the lies, Jesus. So please grow in relationship with God, okay? And let the giftings of the church inspire you to know him more. Fair enough?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What time are you wrapping?
Is two more questions okay? Is that
if
all right?
They're okay.
Are you guys okay? Okay.
Some of them feel tired to me. Just...
Don't do it, guys.
Yeah?
Come awake. Come alive.
Tired.
Okay.
No. Let's just do two more.
We'll two more. Matthew 5:18.
I mean, two more could be like 40 minutes, guys.
Yeah. It says, "For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away," this is Matthew 5:18-20. "Not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps them and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Could you explain these verses?
Absolutely. The Jesus came in the heart of the law. He didn't come to take away the law. He came to fulfill the law. So Jesus fulfilled the law. He fulfilled the law in righteousness as a man. What no man could ever do, he fulfilled the law. So here's what he says. He says, what's the greatest commandment? And somebody answers, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your strength. Jesus said, and the second, he said, you have answered rightly. And the second is like it. So he marries the first to the second and makes the two one. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two, you can hang all the law and the prophets. So he's not talking about individually fulfilling the law. Jesus did that. He's talking about becoming love, because in love, the heart of the law will be fulfilled. You're not going to have to try to break down the commandments and, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. When you become love, the goal, 1 Timothy 1:5, the goal of our instruction is love. The purpose of the commandment is love. To know the love of Christ is to be filled with all the fullness of God. When you love God with everything you are and love your neighbors yourself, all things are fulfilled. You're not breaking the laws. Do you get it? If you read Matthew 18 legalistically and start going back to the law apart from the heart of what Jesus accomplished, it's a new covenant and a new testament in my blood. It doesn't annul the heart of the law. The heart of the law is fulfilled in love. Jesus fulfilled it. He took the handwriting of requirements that were contrary to us, that were, well, you want to look at that? That's Colossians. Yeah, Colossians chapter 2. I want you to look at this real quick. See, because when people read their Bible in some of this stuff, they slip into legalism and take what he's saying so literally, and they miss the fact that we're in a new covenant, a new testament. It doesn't nullify the heart of the law. But the grace we live by is the grace to become love that fulfills all things. Are you guys with me? Because if you're just trying to fulfill all the commandments, we're back to square one, and Jesus is a fool for dying. Come on, he entered us into a new covenant, new testament by his blood, through his spirit, so we can live in fellowship with him. And all things are fulfilled through his nature and becoming changed. Watch this. You being dead, verse 13, Colossians 2. You being dead in your trespasses, the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us. Something you couldn't fulfill in your own strength, in the fallen nature. Watch. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. He didn't come to take away the law. He came to fulfill it. Jesus fulfilled what man failed. He fulfilled the law of righteousness. He lived his life and was tempted at all points and never sinned. And what was impossible to live in the flesh, he did by the Spirit, died, and entered us all into life in the Spirit, in a new testament, new covenant, through his blood, where love is the fulfillment of all things. Are you guys following me? How many individual laws is it? 638? 600 and how many? 30-some. Yeah, it's 600 and some. He's not talking about you getting a list and sticking to it. You'll find that when your heart sincerely becomes love and you're walking in fellowship with God, by the sheer instinct of a changed life, of life in the Spirit, of the nature of love, you're going to walk in these things and understand these things. You follow me? And as you're reading your Bible, communing with God, or sitting under preaching, Holy Spirit, your own conscience, and the pure heart in you, if there's anything that needs sharpened or changed, you'll know it. You'll go, whoa, wait a minute. And because your heart's been pure, and because you're growing in love, you're not going to get in denial and hide and say, oh man, I don't want to know where to find that out. You're going to say, wow, God, that is so not who I'm called to be. Man, I don't even ever want that in my life again. Thanks for showing me that. Wow, you're growing me. Thanks for increasing me. That's how simple this thing should be. Are you guys following me? So he nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing. He took away the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made us free of the law of sin and death. He who knew no sin was made to be sin so we could become right in the sight of God. You're not trying to fulfill individual commandments. You're living from the place of righteousness where you've been made right with God. You get it? His heart to do that shows you his first love. It causes you to begin to love, understand, and trust him. Now you have a relationship. Now you're empowered. Now you're growing and maturing. Does this make sense? It's the best way I can understand it and explain it in my own heart. So he wiped out that requirement thing. He nailed it to the cross, making a public spectacle of the powers and principalities that operated through him. You're called to reckon yourself dead to sin, alive unto God. He took away that thing. The law of sin and death has been destroyed from the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You get that? It's really exciting to me. Like, he cursed sin in the flesh. You have to understand, he didn't curse his son on the cross. He made his son to be sin and cursed the problem. Anything hanging on a cross or a pole has been cursed by God. What was he made to be? Sin. So God cursed sin in the flesh. And sin shall have no dominion over us. Yay! Unless you eat of his flesh and drink of his blood, you by no means have life. What's it saying? Unless you understand and partake of from a sincere heart and faith what he accomplished and what he purposed and what he did through the communion and the understanding of giving yourself in covenant, how are you going to walk in the blessing of what he's done? Unless you see it and believe it. Did you get it? Yeah. Go ahead.
All right. Has God revealed to you anything that is coming or changing within the body of Christ, or have you seen anything in your travels?
When people ask that question, man, I know what they're looking for, the answers, but I'm a simple guy with this. He's really teaching us who he is. You might not understand this, but when you travel, see the emotion? There's emotion in me like you have no idea. That question's got me like, ah. When you travel, you realize there's some universal thoughts that we've been trained by out there that are very deceptive and destructive, even about God and his nature. I'll tell you what God's doing. God's teaching us who he is through the cross and through the gospel. And he's getting some straight thinking in us and some straight paths before us. God, I believe, is revolutionizing our understanding of him. And he's raising up an army. He's raising up people of no nonsense, of surrender. They're saying, you know what? I'm going to love not my own life. I'm going to lay down my life and follow Jesus. I'm not going to sing to him. I'm going to follow him. I mean, they'll sing to him, but what I'm saying is that's not my relationship, going and doing a worship service. I'm not called to just sing to him. I'm called to follow him. Jesus didn't say, sing to me and attend church. He said, follow me. The reason we gather is to stir ourselves up in love and good works. What I see happening is God revolutionizing our understanding of him and why God even sent his son. I've learned in the last few years, that the church at large hasn't had a strong answer to why God sent his son. And that should be, that's the heart of the gospel. Most Christians say, well, to forgive our sins so we can go to heaven. That's the only understanding out there. Because that's all we've taught. God sent his son to forgive our sins so we could go to heaven. No, God sent his son to fulfill what man failed, to get us back on track, restore destiny, so we can fulfill purpose. So we can let the old die and the new live, so our lives can be changed, not secured. Are you guys following me? Come on. Unless you deny yourself. He didn't say unless you pray a prayer to get your name in a book called life. He said unless you deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow me. See, if you don't deny yourself, you'll never pick up your cross. What's pick up my cross? It means taxi through every unfairness, every event, and every circumstance of life without letting it change you, letting him change you, and you face everything through who you've become in him. Never letting sin against you give the right for sin in you, always overcoming evil with good. That's carrying your cross. Never becoming a product of life, but becoming a product of the life that's inside of you. That's carrying your cross. And if you're carrying your cross, guess what you're doing? You're following him. You guys with me? So that's what I see God doing hugely. I do see this amazing grace that if people are sincere enough to believe God loves them and forgives them and they'll lay their hands on the sick, I'm seeing God heal like never before through people that never even knew it was possible. People that have been in the church a long time and have got confused and complex and even chips on their shoulder and hurt by past losses and stuff, and I see some of those folks struggling more than they need to, and I see people just getting saved, a little starry-eyed looks, little birdies in nest, and they're like, I can pray for the sick? Yeah, go ahead. Oh! And then people just getting healed. Like fun stuff. Like really fun stuff. I was just in a church, and this person had never prayed for the sick, and they laid their hand on the tumor, and it disappeared right under their hand. It freaked them both out. They were crying as much as the person that lost the tumor. Because God did that through me. Yeah. He created you to live through you and flow through you. Keep praying for the sick. So what's going to happen if she goes to work someday and somebody's at the lunch table and says, boy, I'm so concerned. I've got this thing growing on my neck and I don't know what it is. Well, first she might get tempted to get a little nervous and, oh, I don't know what to think. But her heart will be thumping, I guarantee you that. And she's going to remember what happened. And sooner or later, she's probably going to say, can I share something? And next thing you know, she's going to have her fingers on that thing. I like that. Amen? So I'm seeing that too. I'm seeing God stir up a simplicity in people, a childlikeness, and they're not so heady, and all the teachings we've been pummeled by are seemingly, and you know what? God just loves people, and the more people I pray for, the more things I'm going to see. I'm just done fighting over it. I'm going to love the world. Meaning love the people of the world, not the things of the world. You get it? So please just get yourself involved. Step out. Pray for folks, man. We had a guy in a meeting. I don't know if John remembers this. It was way back when we were in the school on Thursday night. This guy came and he got so rocked and it was all new to him. And he went to work and he was talking to his good buddy and his buddy was telling him how bad his back was, and he's hearing me and Todd preach this stuff over and over that night, and then he saw things happen in the room, and he was like, what? And he said, listen, man, I don't know what you're going to think of this, but I was in this meeting. He said, you were where? And this guy's kind of dogging him a little for being in a Jesus meeting. They were just friends. And he's like, what are you doing? Man, I got some things in my heart. He's searching, right? He says, what I'm trying to say is these guys said that we have the privilege and the right that God birthed us for this, to believe him and to believe he'll do good things and get ourselves well. Here's what I'm trying to say, man. Let me pray for your back. He said, you want to pray for my back? He said, yeah. So he prays for his back. And the guy's like, okay, whatever. And he says, well, listen, these guys, when they pray for folks, they said, check it out, Ben. Just do something. And the guy's going, what? Are you kidding? What? And he says, the guy that prayed, no way. Doesn't it hurt? Are you telling me it don't hurt? Do you remember the testimony? And the guy's like, he said, you're playing with me. You're just messing. No, it's going. And the guy that prayed, the powerful man of faith. No, he was just humbly, sincerely stepping out with the little bit he understood. And God said, way to go. We've been so technical and self-conscious when we pray, we've gotten in the way. Let's close with this one on that. Your prayer never, ever heals or will heal anyone. It's his finished work that does that. And you believing his love for people through Jesus. The fact that we get self-conscious when we pray for the sick and try to pray right and pray better proves that we don't understand the grace of God in healing. We're trying to produce something that's already there. So this guy says to his friend, oh my gosh, you're kidding me. You're healed. So when the guy got healed, he was more shocked that it actually happened, but had enough humility to step out and at least position himself for it. But when it happened, he was freaked out. So he couldn't have had what we call Bible faith, but he sure had humility, and he sure went for what his heart was convicted. Let's start that simple and be like children. What do you say? Yeah. Amen? We done? Yeah. Can I pray something over everybody?
Yeah, can I just say something first?
Please, man. Yeah. You're the man of God here.
Oh, wow.
Pastor Adam of the house.
That's awesome.
It is awesome.
There was a lot of questions on healing. The reason why I didn't really go into healing is because there's so much on YouTube about healing. You type in Dan Muller healing, okay? And you will see sermons. He does Q&A on it. There is tons of stuff. So if you have just a few moments of your day, Twisted Perspectives, have anybody ever seen that one? That's a great one. That's on there. And so there is tons of stuff on the internet on healing, and I didn't ask any of those questions. But before Dan prays for us, will you just thank Dan for just making himself available and coming
out? That's my honor. Listen, no, I appreciate that, guys. I'm having fun. You can tell this is no sacrifice for me. But listen, if you can find a power and love Saturday night in Ottawa, Canada. I don't know. I think Tom Rotola put it out there somewhere. A Power and Love, Saturday night, Ottawa, Canada. It was off the hook, the grace. There were so many questions and question and answer on healing that I just stopped them all and said, listen, guys, we'll just preach it tonight. And everybody's like, good. They just cried their whole way through. And we talked about things that didn't happen, some children I held with cancer that died, how none of that can change truth, so we can't let it change our hearts or belief, how Jesus is our standard, we're following him, not our circumstances, and let's keep going after this thing. I just got a report last week, somebody that was just prayed for prostate cancer, went back in the hospital for tests, and it's not there. If you assume a conclusion through what didn't happen, you're not prepared for when it's in front of you again. You have to let Jesus be the one that decides your faith. We're following him, not our experience or lack thereof. We're following him. Don't ever forget that. Jesus is the will of God revealed. If you can't find it in his life, then don't settle for it in yours. Let's go after the more. Okay? Just being honest. And if you can find that one from Ottawa, Canada, it just stirred in me that thing we covered, oh my goodness, Todd, my buddy Todd came up crying. He said, dude, that was ridiculous. That was so thorough. I got so much feedback from that one. Tom put it somewhere. I'm not an internet guy, so I don't know. But I got emails and people saying, oh my goodness, thank you for that night. In 15 to 20 minutes, you answered lifelong questions and made sense of everything I was confused by. And thank you, thank you, thank you. I got tons of emails like that. So it had to be meaningful to folks that heard it. So if you can track that one down in light of what you said. 2012? Did you find it already? You are such a computer guy, man. Don't lay hands on me. Don't impart it. What'd you find it on?
YouTube.
You just looked it up?
I just Googled it.
What'd you Google? And it's the Saturday night. Is it on healing?
All
of them. Ottawa, Canada, the last night, Saturday night, on healing. You can watch them all if you want. I'm sure they're all good. We were preaching the gospel. But that one was so specifically addressed to healing. Kingdom Living School, I don't know what week that was, Pastor, but that one whole week, we just covered healing for the whole week and answered all kinds of questions and just went for it for the whole week. Because the biggest thing on healing is people challenge New Testament healing with Old Testament stories. It's one of the biggest mistakes. You're in a new covenant in New Testament through his blood. Let's stop saying, what about Job? You got to say, what about Jesus and what about what he accomplished? It's not what about Job. And actually, if you understood the story of Job, you'd stop saying, what about Job?
That's on the internet too.
Is it?
Yeah.
They put a lot of stuff on that internet. Can I just pray over you guys? You've been so gracious and patient. Can we just pray and then head home? Listen, the reason we come is to leave looking more like him. Let's just keep growing in relationship. And every one of us, guys, you're not just pressured to turn the world upside down in a day. And it's not about walking into Walmart and everybody screaming on the floor in the fire of God. That would be fun. But it's about you growing up into Jesus in all things, where your life becomes influential even as you pass by the one or have a conversation or you're just sitting with a coworker. You see what I'm saying? So, Father, I thank you for the way you're growing us. I thank you for the hearts in this house to ask questions and to respond to truth. Thank you for the hunger I perceive here and the humility in hearing. And I'm just asking you to keep pouring out grace that makes us more and more like you, without struggle, without strain, without striving. Let us enter into your rest and just keep growing in that truth. God, thank you for never changing your mind, for love never failing. Thank you. We can put all our trust in you. So, Father, keep growing us up in these truths. Keep our eyes so protected from the things that try to deceive, and let our identity rest solely in you so we can see clearly in all these matters. Thank you for the grace. Thank you for the weekend. And thank you for increasing us. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Bless you. You bet.